Church, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with us there to James chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'd like to share a story with you, a true story. This is from my life. It was fall of 2017. Some of you would be mindful that we came here in December of 2017, and this was actually during the time period when I was still serving as pastor at First Baptist Church in Polkville and considering whether we were going to leave serving there to come serve at Mount Zion. The committee had extended the invitation. I had talked with them multiple times. And as I was trying to consider that, I had an interaction with a great friend of mine, a brother named Larry Reynolds. Brother Larry was several years older than me. He was in his late 70s. He was a wise and godly man. He has since passed to go be with the Lord. And Larry was one of my biggest supporters. I mean, just an encourager, a loving brother. And on this particular day, I was trying to wrestle through this idea of leaving there and coming here. And I shared a thought with him, and he listened very patiently and responded very accordingly. And here was the struggle that I had. In the 3.5 years or so that I had served there in Polkville, things had gone well. We had worked through some difficult situations. We had transitioned. This was new for them. We had put screens there, TVs on the wall, and begun to sing some songs that weren't always just the ones in the hymn book. And so we had done some things that had worked really well. We had worked through some difficulties. And the church was just, things were very sweet. The fellowship was sweet. Things were going well. And I had this concern that if I were to leave there and come here, that things might not continue to go so well for First Baptist Polkville. And Larry, being the loving, godly man that he was, said this: "Zach, this church was here a long time before you came. And by God's grace, it'll be here a long time after you leave." And immediately, I knew this: I think way too much of myself. I knew it in that moment. I'm so thankful that that brother was willing to speak those true words to me. The things that had happened while I was at Polkville were not because of Zach Kilpatrick. If they were, it's only because of God's grace working through Zach Kilpatrick. It was the grace of God that had done all of those things. And this mindset of thinking too much of ourselves is exactly what I believe James to be addressing in today's text. He uses the word there in verse 16, arrogance. Let me give you the definition of this. Arrogant. What does it mean to be arrogant? This is someone who is boastful. They have boastful self-confidence that parades its resources, achievements, or plans as if independent of God, right? The things that I have accomplished in my life, the place that I am today, I have gotten here by my own doing, by my smarts, by my connections, by my whatever it is. It is an inflated, self-originated pride that assumes autonomy. I am able to do whatever it is on my own, independent of God. This is arrogance. Pride, there are a lot of words for it. But it's what James is addressing here. And I understand this, that none of us would say that that is us. Like you read that definition, you're sitting here on Sunday morning. None of us are saying, yes, I believe that I got here by myself. I believe that I can handle life on my own. We're not going to say that after we just sang, "I surrender all." But sometimes if we're real honest, that's the way we live our lives. And if it is the way that you live your life, at least at times, then James has an address for us this morning. So what is the remedy to this? It's what I want us to do today. First, I want us to consider our nature. As human beings, let's consider our nature, who we are, what we're like. And then let's consider God's nature, who He is and what He's like. And then let us live according. Let's have an appropriate response to understanding our nature in God's nature. So look back at verse 13, the first verse where we see who it is that James is addressing. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Here is James, this idea when he says, come now, this is an invitation to sit and listen. Listen, those of you who speak like this, I need you to sit down and stop what you're doing and listen to me for just a moment. That's what James is saying here. And when you first read, you say, well, what's really so wrong with what's being said there? Is God, is James against merchants trying to make a profit? Is he against capitalism? That's not what he's against here. Is God against trying to take the information that we have before us and trying to make plans? God's not against that. But notice the confidence, the certainty with which they're speaking. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town. And it's implied we will spend a year there. And we will trade and we will make a profit, right? This is the voice of certainty. They know what they're going to do. They know without a shadow of a doubt how the future is going to play out. I was trying to think about what's kind of a modern equivalent of this. If we're trying to think in our own lives, what does this look like? I think this could be like a college student that has a 10-year plan. This is my plan. I will graduate at 22. I will get married at 24. I will get a good job at 26. I will start my own business at 30. This is how my life is going to go. Think about the plans of those looking towards retirement. I'm going to continue to work for a few more years. I'm going to retire at 60. I'm going to buy a house at the beach because my Roth IRA will have this much in it. This is how it's going to go. This is what I'm going to do. And this would be, I think, James's reply to that. You might, but you might not. And it's not up to you whether you will or will not do those things. Friends, if we are too confident in our own plans and our own abilities, if we feel secure because of our smarts or our ability, then we really need to hear what James is going to say in verse 14. Let us consider our nature. This is the first thing that James is going to help us do here. Consider our nature, what we are like as human beings. Look at verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, sometimes whenever we see things in perspective, it hurts a little bit. We don't want to hear that we are a mist. Like those of you that walked outside this morning, you could see your breath because it's so cold. You see your breath, but then all of a sudden you don't see your breath, right? It's gone just like that. That's what James is saying here. In providential nature, I was going to try and illustrate this by blowing a bubble to show you what we're like. Right, we're like this bubble that it's here, it floats around, we see it, and then it pops. But providentially, I was going to do that by ordering bubbles on a Walmart delivery yesterday that got canceled 3 times and never came. Because I can't predict the future. This is the flaw in self-confidence. This is the problem in trusting too much in yourself. There's no security in you. There's no security in me, in my future planning, in my understanding. God's not against planning. I think the Bible is very clear when he talks about stewardship. Whenever we read the book of Proverbs, we see it is good to take the information that is before us and try to make good plans and to try and have an idea of what we're going to do if we're able to. But it's the self, it's the arrogance with which many of us live that James is addressing here. Let me read a couple of verses to you that help us to understand what our nature is like. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 6 and 8 say this: all flesh, that's humans, that's us, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But listen to this, for apart from me, you can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. That's what we need to understand. If you have an overinflated, an unrealistic view of yourself, I know this is humbling. I know this isn't the most fun portion of a sermon that you've probably ever sat through, but this is what we need to remember, friends. We are not omniscient. We are not self-reliant. We are not sovereign. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less get to shape tomorrow. So while it's wise to make plans based on what's in front of us, we also need to remember that we are wholly insufficient for the task of bending the future to our will. That is our nature. Point one, we are finite and insufficient. When we're talking about choosing how things will go, knowing the future, being in charge of the course of our life and the events around us, we need to realize this. Those of you that have lived more years probably realize this. More specifically, you have seen death come to those whom were not expecting it. You have seen cancer diagnosis and things come to those who are young and those who are old. You have experienced life events that you never thought were going to happen. And you have a clear understanding that we are finite. We are like a mist that is here for a little while and then is gone. We are insufficient for the task of being in charge of our own lives. Last Saturday, by the end of the day, I had developed a pounding, unrelenting headache and had become physically ill from stress. Now, I don't get stressed very often, but when I do, and I think it's because I don't stress a lot, so I'm not well accustomed to being stressed out, but when I do, I feel horrible. And I thought I was getting sick. I thought I was one of you that recently had the flu. I thought that was me. But you know why I felt so physically ill and why I had this unrelenting headache? It's because I was trying to predict the future. If you remember back to last Saturday, you'd remember it's when we're waiting for Ice Stormageddon to come. And so I spend the whole day, not just today, I spent Thursday and Friday and Saturday talking to the staff and talking to the church council and watching every news report that I could and watching every forecast that I could. And I'm following Dave Roberts and David Hartman on Facebook. I'm stalking them. If they make a post, I know that they made a post. I'm refreshing my phone over and over and over. Why? Because I want to know what tomorrow is going to bring. I'm trying to help make a decision. Are we going to have services? Are we not going to have services? What is best? What should we do? And so I'm trying in my own ability, with the help of AI and the help of meteorological experts, with the help of all these forecasts, I'm trying to predict what's going to happen just 12 hours into the future. And you know what happened? We still missed it. We still said that the ice and freezing rain won't be here till noon. If we have services at 9:30, we'll be just fine. And I woke up, and at 7 a.m., I walked out of my house, and there was literally freezing rain hitting the hood of my vehicle. You know why? Because I'm insufficient for knowing what's going to happen in the future. And so are you. I can't even predict it, much less shape it. So if this is you, if you have spent too many days and weeks and years of your life like me thinking way too much of yourself, then I pray that having a clear view from Scripture about who we are helps you to understand the next part. Because sometimes the best thing for us to do when we're trying to figure out the difference in two things is to be able to actually compare and contrast them, right? Some of you have done this. You've tried to buy something online, and you're looking at this shirt, and you're looking at this shirt, and you're reading, well, this one says it's 78% polyester, and this one says it's 94% polyester. I just wish I could hold the two of them, right? I wish I could really compare them, because when we compare things, sometimes it makes it much more clear. Chip's going to turn off the lights for us, and I'm going to compare a couple of things here that I think will help us to be able to see how useful it is when we make a contrast. So, y'all can see that flashlight, right? And that, it appears to be making a difference, doesn't it? I mean, it's not super bright, but if you were in the bathroom at Friend's Kitchen and the electricity went out, I know that sounds very specific. That actually happened to us yesterday. That'd be a very helpful light, wouldn't it? And so, for some of us, this is us. You say, no, Brother Zach, I have seen the difference that I've made in my life. I've made plans, and I've seen those plans happen. I've seen how useful and important I am. What I would remind you is, what you're probably seeing is just a little something that is God being gracious and allowing your plans to work out from time to time. But if you were to compare yourself to Him, it would be something like this, where all of a sudden, now you've just disappeared because you're contrasting yourself with one who is wholly greater than you are, right? Thank you, Chip, if you would turn those lights back on. All right, I had one more compare and contrast here, just to make it very clear the difference in our nature and God's nature. I was going to do this with confetti, but Miss Susan, I decided I wouldn't do that again today. Here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try and blow and see how far I can make these extend out. Y'all seen how the flags have been the last few days everywhere you go, just standing out straight. I'm going to blow and I'm going to try and make these stand out as far as they can. Y'all think I'll do a good job? Just curious. Doesn't matter if you think I will or not, I'm going to try it. So let's try it. I'm not too good at it. I really thought I was going to get more, and that was better. And so that did okay, but let's contrast that with something that might do a little bit better. Thank you, Jet. Let's have a round of applause for Jet. Give him a help. Yeah. Now, doesn't that seem to do a much better job? Friends, this isn't really about lights or blowers. What I want you to recognize today is these are helping us see the difference in what our plans and our abilities are like when we compare and contrast them with God. So for just a moment, let us consider God's nature. We've considered our nature. We've seen that we are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Let me read a couple of texts for you that show us what God is like. Psalm 115:3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases." Everything that God desires to do, He does, because no one can stop Him. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, God speaks and says this, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." God can speak that way. Why is God able to speak that way? Because God is able to do anything that He wants to do. He doesn't just know the future. He shapes the future. He bends it to His will. He's in charge of kings and kingdoms, of all the planets in the universe. I always love to quote God as He's speaking to Job at the end of the book of Job. It starts in chapter 38. And I'm just going to read just a couple of these for you that help us to see what God's nature is like versus our nature. And Job 38 in verse 4, he says, to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Verses 8 and 11, he says, "Who shut in the sea with doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther'?" Verse 12, he says, "Have you commanded the morning since your days began?" In 34 and 35, he says, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'?" Friends, this is what God's nature is like. God is the one who laid the foundation of the earth, who tells the sea how far it can come and where it has to stop. God is the one who does everything that he pleases because he understands all things. He is omniscient and he is also all powerful. He can do anything and everything. And so point two this morning is this: God is infinite and sovereign. And I want you to see that the contrast there. We are finite. God is infinite, right? We are bound. He is unbound. We are insufficient. He is sovereign. What does it mean to be sovereign? It means that you are over everything. You do absolutely whatever you want to do. And this is Scripture's testimony about who God is. His power and his understanding and his wisdom are unending and unmatched. And so when we see how great he is, we understand more clearly how insufficient we are. But I also want you to remember this, that should give you great hope. It should give you great hope because when we're honest, we know that we are limited in our ability. And so when we remember that God is unlimited in power and understanding and capability, when we remember this, the one who is sovereign calls us his children and loves us as his bride, it should bring great reassurance to our hearts. Because though we don't know what will happen tomorrow, he does. And though we can't be sure what's going to happen 5 or 10 years from now, he can. And so we can rest knowing that the one who is in charge of everything is the one who counts us as his most precious possessions. And this leads us to the last point, the last thing that I want to see back in James 4. Look at verse 15. So he's shown us what we shouldn't say, the certainty of our plans. He's shown us why, because we are wholly insufficient, missed here for a little while that vanishes. So verse 15, he tells us what we should say instead. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." And this is what James is calling for: humility. Humility. I'm planning to get up in the morning and come to the office, but I recognize this: I'm only going to do that if the Lord allows it. Now, you don't actually have to say that every time you say something, right? Y'all want to meet for lunch? Yeah, I'll see you at Broma's if the Lord wills. Now, you can. It's okay. It's not a bad thing to do. It'd probably be a good thing if we said at least a little bit more often. But at least in your heart, recognize that this is the truth. Let this be the philosophy of your life. I will do these things if God allows me to. If it's part of God's plan. If God sees fit to let it happen, this is what we're going to do. It's called deference. The definition of deference is respect and esteem due a superior. God is superior, so we give him the respect and the esteem that he is owed. So point three is this: we should humbly bow before God. This is the appropriate response to our finite capabilities, to our insufficient personalities, and the recognition of God's infinite ability and sovereign strength. I recognize that I'm insufficient. I recognize that He is wholly sufficient. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to humbly bow at His feet. And I'm going to say, God, I'm thankful that You're in charge of everything. God, I know that I can't choose what's going to happen 5 or 10 years from now. This is what I would like to do. It's okay to turn our plans into prayers. God, I pray that I'll graduate at 22 and get married at 24 and get a job at 26 and start a business at 30. It's okay to pray that. And if it's God's will, it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's okay. Because He has a better plan. And we can trust that plan. So this morning, as we think about responding to this text, I want to start, as I always do, with those who may not know the Lord at all. You've never come to recognize your finiteness. You've never come to recognize that you are actually needy. That you need God's help to sustain your life, that you need God's help to see any plans that you have going well, to see, to continue to live day after day, that you need Him to do that. And so if you're here today and you've never recognized that, nobody's ever told you that, everybody's always told you that you can be all that you want to be, I'm here to tell you, you can't unless God allows you to. Because He's sovereign and you're not. But if today you're hearing that and you're recognizing, you're seeing, you know what? I am here just for a little while and then I'm going to be gone, but God is here forever. That I can't do anything on my own, but I do believe what He's saying. Even if you don't believe it, I hope you understand that I believe that you really can't do anything unless you continue to abide in Christ. And maybe my confidence in this is making you say, I'd at least like to talk to Him about that because He really does believe it. And I'd love to have a conversation with you about why I'm so convinced of that truth. But if you're here today and you've never come to faith in Jesus, you've never handed over control of your life to Him, then I would invite you to have a conversation with me or with Brother Adam about why you should do that and what a difference it would make if you were willing to do that. This morning I also want to talk to those of you who too often are like I've been, you're Christians, but you've continued to live in arrogance. In verse 17, James tells us that to continue doing the wrong thing is sinful when we know the right thing. We know that we should humbly bow before God, that we should defer to Him. And if you continue to not do that, then you're sinning. But in verse 16, I think this is even a little more direct. He doesn't just say it's sin. He says it's evil. It's evil to think that we are sufficient or that the things that God has done in our life are actually things that we have done on our own. Friends, if you're here today and you have just overinflated your view of yourself, then I would ask you to do this. Humble yourself before the Lord. You know He's sovereign. You know that you're only set free from your sin by His grace, that your only hope of eternity is found in Jesus. You know that. And maybe today we're just being reminded of that. And if you're being reminded of that today, then bow before Him. Repent of your arrogance. And ask God to once again help you remember that He is the one that is guiding your life. But then I would also say this. There's another group of Christians that I trust are here this morning, and that's a group of Christians who live life anxiously. You're worried about tomorrow, and you're worried about next week, and you're worried about next month, and you're worried about college planning, and you're worried about retirement. And if you're not worried, you're worried that you're not worried. Why am I not feeling worried today? Because I should feel worried. You live in a constant state of stress. If that's you, let me remind you that it's very likely that some of your plans won't work out. And you say, Brother Zach, you're not helping. And it's okay. It's okay if your plans don't work out because God's will. They always will. And if your plans don't work out, it's because they weren't perfect. But His will work out because they are perfect. You can trust Him. Don't worry about tomorrow. Plan for tomorrow. Make provisions for tomorrow.